15, into the end zone, touchdown Detroit Lions. He slams it over the goalpost.
Welcome once again, denizens of the internet, to the Pride of Detroit podcast, the PODcast from prideofdetroit.com, a blog member of SB Nation, talking about the Detroit Lions of the National Football League. Prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. Don't have any other social media networks, not yet. We haven't hit the Instagrams or the Snapchat.
Coming soon to Snapchat.
Everyone else has Snapchat. I guess that's the next big thing, maybe. I don't know. And found, as always, on iTunes and Blog Talk Radio for the podcast. Having a big explosion recently of hits, so we're starting to take over the airwaves. Joining us in here, that voice you heard was Jeremy Reisman, managing editor at Detroit on Lion is his Twitter handle. Myself, Chris Lemieux, your master of ceremonies, at Malkovich Plan on Twitter, and Ryan Matthews, editor for Pride of Detroit, is here as well, at Ryan_POD.
What's up, guys?
We got a three-pair in here. We got a three-pair, and we're going to start this off just right. And this is good, because I might need you guys' help, because I am suffering right now. Ryan, you could probably help me here. I went to B-dubs, and I underestimated my opponent.
Why did you do that, first of all?
Well,
aren't you in the news? Haven't you heard about the norovirus?
The what?
There's a norovirus outbreak at B-dubs in Kansas.
Well, I'm not in Kansas, so thank God.
I mean, I close enough. I mean,
If I lived in Kansas, I would probably want to get a virus so I could get out of Kansas.
Well, I mean, that's rough, but maybe the norovirus already worked its way through your system.
No, you know what worked on my system is because it was 70 cent wings and I got 6 pieces of the buffalo dry seasoning and then I got 6 pieces of mango habanero. And I was thinking to myself, "Oh, mango habanero, I've had this stuff before. I know what I'm into." No, that shit burns. That's burning my lips and my tongue and just nothing stopping it.
Wait, how many wings did you get, Chris?
I had a dozen.
Oh, I thought you said 77. I was like, first
no,
of all,
70 cents. Cents.
Okay. I thought you said you had 77 wings and I was like, oof. First of all, they don't come in that quantity. And second of all, yeah, you have yourself to blame.
Like, I saw mango habanero. I had done mango habanero wings before from other places, like Wingstop. Those are much hotter mango habanero wings.
Well, we know you aren't afraid of any sort of virus because I've never seen someone more excited about a free burrito from Chipotle right after their little influenza scare.
I still haven't used up my free burrito yet. I have it waiting there. It's good until the 24th. I'm waiting for the right day.
Yeah, I think the longer you wait, the better, so that they get all their shit figured out.
No, I think if I wait longer, they will probably have more chance that it will once again get infected with E. coli.
Oh, God. That's a good point. Speaking of free burritos, the Lions cut Joik Bell.
Very, very topical.
Master of segues, Ryan Matthews.
I won't even ask how that makes sense. I want segues to not make sense on this podcast. I want, Ryan, every time we're starting to veer off, I want you to be like, speaking of free burritos, speaking of dying in Syria.
When have we ever talked about dying in Syria? But that's a great segue.
Speaking of dying in Syria, Rasheen Mathis.
Well, yeah, let's actually get into it.
Speaking of awkward segues, Rasheen Mathis and Joik Bell are now in the news. Two Lions. Let's start with Rasheen Mathis.
Yeah, this one I know is going to hit a little close to home to you, Chris, because you've kind of been a Rasheen Mathis fan all season
I've been
long.
A stan.
I know you've wanted to write a couple things about him that you have and haven't gotten out there. So why don't you talk to us about your initial reaction?
Well, a lot of what I wanted to write about him was regarding how I thought the Lions handled his concussion protocol from the game before the London game. Was that
Vikings at home?
Was that Vikings at home? Yeah, that's right. It was Vikings at home. We hadn't won yet. Mm-hmm. And when he got that concussion and he was cleared to return, And then before the London game, he suddenly has on his injury report, because you were making me do all the injury reports during the season, all of those incidents of illness, did not practice, which struck me as very weird. Right. And then I started digging around and trying to figure out, you know, how this concussion really came about. And from everything I started gathering as far as notes, Rasheen Mathis, after that concussion, was talking in very somber tones about his career and about what it was like to have that concussion and about new concerns for his health and everything like that. Everything I really enjoy reading about when it comes to football in this new age where we have this much information about concussions and mental health. And you know, brain damage for our football players, that everything about what he was saying in these interviews he was giving to the Detroit Free Press and I think maybe the Detroit News as well, like, I thought everything here was really fascinating to me. And, you know, it's not even that, like, so a lot of it's that, right? Like, we heard a lot of Rasheen Mathis stumping for Jim Caldwell and saying that if Jim Caldwell wasn't back, then he might not be back himself. And I thought that was a pretty big thing there too. But it turns out that even with Jim Caldwell back, wasn't really enough to keep him around. So
do you think that this is more of an injury thing for him? You know, that he's not willing to risk another concussion, or maybe he said that he's fully recovered, but can you ever be really 100% fully recovered from a concussion is a real question to ask, too.
I think that's a good question. I mean, he is going to be 36 before the season starts as well.
Right.
So I think there's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. I believe, you know, he's made some pretty good money in his 13-year career. And, you know, is he still the Jaguars leader in interceptions?
Yeah, I believe so. They tweeted out something like that today.
Yes.
Yeah, I think so. He had something like 30 interceptions with the Jaguars.
Yeah, I mean, he was first team All-Pro back in 06. He made the Pro Bowl that year. He was, you know, he's probably one of the great athletes of the modern time right now to come out of Bethune-Cookman University, one of the HBCUs.
Prestigious.
The Fighting Bethunes.
Okay, I'm not going to do... They're the Wildcats, Jeremy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, throw a dart in the dark.
Bethune-Cookman is one of those, is a very prestigious, like, HBCU university, back when HBCU football was, like, a really big thing. And, like, I know there's a few players that come out of Bethune-Cookman still, but I would think he's probably one of the few that right now in this era have had, like, a long career.
Yeah.
So,
well, 13 years, that's long for anybody.
Yeah, and you know, he's playing cornerback, too. And, yeah. You know, when the Lions got him in 2013, it felt like, you know, this is kind of an end-of-the-road contract. He'd already spent 9 years with Jacksonville. Like, he got, what was it? It was a one-year contract to start and then re-signed with the Lions for 2 years, $3.5 million.
That sounds right. Or maybe it was two and then one? I don't know.
No, it was one, then two. Yeah, I remember that much. So, I mean, he was kind of getting some money at the end of the deal, at the end of his career, and he knew he wasn't getting anything long term. But, you know, he put in his years with Jacksonville. He's made good money. And I don't know. I'm really curious, and it's one thing I'm going to try to follow up on him, is just how much of this, you know, of the concussion really influenced him to really kind of hang it up.
Well, I think I would assume that he retired because of the concussion, or at least maybe because just, you know, football is such a... is a sport that takes its toll on your body. I mean, I think I remember him saying something at the end of the season where there were really only two options, that he was either going to retire or he was going to play for the Lions. So, I mean, I don't think he was going to play for another team. So, I mean, you can see, like, the impact that it's having on, like, the rest of the secondary. Like, there's been a lot of tweets, like, Darius Slay tweeted out, like, you know, I'm going to miss my big brother. You know, words can't describe, you know, the respect and the love I have for you. So, I don't know. He was the veteran of that group, so I think he definitely filled his role. And for a lot of the Twitter hate that sometimes I would see, you know, Rasheen get on Sundays, I thought he was a perfectly serviceable nickelback. I mean, he definitely had a big impact on the team.
Yeah,
he did. And he was brought in to be just kind of like a stopgap guy, but in his, you know, 2.5 years he played for the Lions, he was actually a lot more than that. Like, he was a dynamic number two guy. Like, he was definitely playing at an above average level, and I think that's more than almost anyone expected. And then towards the end of his career, he turned into more of that, like, mentorship role for all the young guys, mm-hmm. which has proved really, really invaluable, especially since the Lions have such a young secondary right now that's really turning into an impressive crew.
I hate that, though. I hate that narrative that if you get a veteran and he's just kind of around average, that somehow he's, like, a mentor, and that, right. like, you know, all these guys are, like, you know, you bring in a veteran, and he just automatically will want to, you know, impart all of his wisdom upon, like, some rookies or something. I hate that narrative. But I think in the case of Mathis, you do have a point that it was kind of true, especially as you're seeing other guys from that secondary kind of speak up for him the way he did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even Diggs tweeted out and said, you know, I was blessed to be able to learn so much from Rasheen just in 1 year. Yeah. So, you know, I think that's just a personality type. I mean, obviously, we've mm-hmm. seen scenarios where players not necessarily were brought in, but even like Favre in Green Bay, like, he was no mentor to Aaron Rodgers. Like,
oh God, no. No, he was a roadblock.
He was an obstacle. Yeah, he was a pylon. You know? He was a pylon in the depth chart to Aaron Rodgers. But I mean, I think it goes to show that Rasheen was you know, he was like a consummate professional, and it wasn't like he would just I guess I didn't want it to come off sounding like he was just here to like fill that mentor role, because like Jeremy said, and like, you know, like you alluded to too, Chris, like Rasheen was a contributor, like in a big way,
yeah.
to this team.
Yeah, he
especially
was good.
on that playoff team. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
and you're right, you know, as Darius Slay kind of grew into that role, Rasheen Mathis was a very solid too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, you know, he did struggle a little bit in 2015, and his injury, you know, probably forced the Lions to really start looking for the future to take over his spot. But at the same time, too, if he had come back and decided to keep playing, I don't think anyone would have blinked.
Right. And a couple of people have come to me talking either via Twitter or the comment section in Pride of Detroit asking, what's the future of Rasheen Mathis? Could he be a secondary coach? Could he be some sort of assistant for the Lions? And I really don't see that happening. If you watch his entire retirement video on DetroitLions.com, he sounded like a guy who wanted to step away from football for a while.
Shout out to him doing that from a golf course as well, right? By the way.
Well, like, yeah, and that's one of the things. Like, he's very passionate about golf, if you listen to that whole thing.
Oh, yeah,
and
it's then, like a Steve Spurrier kind of thing. Sure.
Yeah. And then the other thing with that video, watch it again and count how many times he says Jacksonville. He did the interview from Jacksonville. He mentions Jacksonville at least a baker's dozen amount of time. That guy's in love with Jacksonville. If he's going to be a mentor, if he's going to join any sort of organization, it's going to be the Jaguars.
I mean, yeah, sure. He spent 9 years there. And where would you rather spend your falls, Detroit or Jacksonville, Florida? And Jacksonville's a very beautiful place. Like, it's not a great city, but still, it's North Florida. It's not bad. I've lived around that area. I'm always fascinated by that, though, the idea of many Detroit fans, like, as soon as a player retires, that had anything to do with us, like, get him as a coach.
Right. Yeah, it's a weird fantasy that people have, and with some people it makes sense, with Rasheen, it doesn't.
No, but he's a Jaguar. I mean, he spent some good years with Detroit, and I think we'll remember him pretty well as a Lion. But I think at heart, and you might disagree or agree on this, Ryan, like I think his identity is a Jaguar.
Oh yeah, I mean I feel like that's where people remember him playing the most of his, you know, pro career. And I mean, like you said, he was an All-Pro. Was it in 2006?
2006, yeah. I believe that would be his third year in the league.
Yeah, I think he had something like 8 interceptions that year. I mean, Who was the other corner? I hate to put you guys on the spot. Who was the other corner that played alongside him in Jacksonville? They had a pretty good secondary.
John, was it Champ Bailey?
No,
I'm looking at the Pro Bowl roster. My bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I got turned up here.
But I mean, as far as cornerbacks with dreads in Detroit, he was much better than RW McQuarters. I think that can go without saying. He was definitely better than R.W. McQuarters.
At least twice as good.
At least twice as good as R.W. McQuarters.
Man, that is a deep pull.
It is a deep pull, but then again, my friend has a signed pair of breast cancer like awareness gloves from when R.W. McQuarters played with the Lions, and that's probably the single most like random piece of memorabilia you can have.
Would it have been Dion Grant?
Maybe. That sounds familiar.
Wasn't Terry Cousins Donovan Darius? Like, I'm just kind of shooting darts out here.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I just remember, man, this is going to sound awful, but I remember playing Madden like back in like 2005, 2006, and I remember...
I know where you're going with this.
Rasheen Mathis always being like one of the best corners in the game, and then there's another good corner there. But anyways,
Brian Williams, maybe?
Free burritos. Brian Williams, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm looking at a database that just says DBs and has the whole roster. So I'm just looking at like games started and hoping to find something. And I wish I could give Jacksonville a little more respect than that, because, you know, Jacksonville's had good players. And you say that about Madden, and I kind of like giggled a bit because, like, when I had Madden 2001, my team that I played with was always the Jacksonville Jaguars. I was, because I wanted Mark Brunell and I wanted Fred Taylor.
Oh, Mark Brunell. Surprisingly, not the best quarterback in their history, because it's Byron Leftwich, my favorite quarterback of all time.
Now, this just came to mind. With Rasheen Mathis retiring, is that the end of, like, the Tennessee to Detroit connection that we had going on for, like, 5 or 6 years with, like, Justin Durant? I can't even think of any others right now off the top of my head, but there was a string of Jacksonville players that for some reason, like, went straight to the pipeline to Detroit.
By the way, I looked it up. It was Brian Williams at the right corner for 2006 okay. Jags.
There you go. What was your question, Jeremy?
Are there any leftovers from that Jacksonville to Detroit pipeline that we had going for a few years?
I can't think of
I don't
of any.
Know. Like, do we have
Does
any
anyone
former,
know what I'm talking about?
Do we have any former Jags now on the roster still? Like, unless they're, like, way down in the depth chart or something.
That might be it.
Wasn't Tim Wright a Jaguar once?
Maybe. Fernando Bryant used to be one.
Yeah, you're kind of catching me on the spot here. I am not someone who knows, like...
Sorry, it just popped into
no,
my
it's
head.
Fine. It's fine. I just... This is what we do. We have to do research on the spot, and you know, I have to be careful about how much podcasting we give to it. So the other news that came out almost about, like, wasn't it Rasheen Mathis announced he was retiring around, what was it, like 1 p.m. on the East Coast?
Sounds about right. That, might have been a little bit later than that.
In that 1 p.m., 2 p.m. time frame.
Sure.
And then later in that day, so we have him retiring, but then later in that day, around about 5 o'clock, 5:15 or so, we get the news the Lions have cut Joik Bell, running back from the Detroit Lions, ending Joik Bell's time here since 2011, I believe. And this one, I think, hits home a little closer for a lot of fans than Rasheen Mathis, even though Rasheen Mathis is kind of the, you know, the veteran guy. Like, a lot of guys, a lot of fans fell in love with Joik Bell because of what he represented.
Yeah, he was the great story. And even though he was around for about the same amount of time as Rasheen Mathis, he provided just a really cool story. He's a hometown guy. And even though he got a lot of hate last year, I was really impressed with the way he finished the season. And that just kind of speaks to his entire career. He's a guy who's going to keep on fighting, even if he's bouncing around teams as practice squad. He eventually found a place where he could fit in, where he could make the roster, get some legitimate playing time, and he made the most of it.
Yeah, now we have Zach Zenner to look forward to
ZZ.
In our backfield.
ZZ.
This is the thing, is that, yeah, I mean, I guess the way I feel about Joik Bell is that I was one of his biggest fans, especially in that 2014 season when that was his best year. What he had almost 900 yards rushing that season.
Yeah, people learned the name Joik Bell because of that season. Really, like, up until then, like, I don't think many people were expecting the name Joik Bell. Like, you know, who was the biggest back before him? Reggie Bush, pretty much.
Well, yeah, and they, I mean, they were good compliments to one another, and it kind of made for some excitement out of the backfield that we really hadn't had since.
Don't go down that road. Don't go down that road. It's a very depressing road you're about to go down.
Kevin Jones rookie season?
God.
But anyway, so I mean, he, you know, like, you know, Wayne State, the whole Wayne State connection, the whole story of him being the parking lot attendant.
Wasn't he a security guard at one point too?
Yeah, like the security guard for the parking structure at Ford Field. I mean, that whole story was really cool, and to hear him, you know, work his way up and bounce around the league and end up, you know, in Detroit, you know, where he, you know, was an incredible player for Wayne State. But
probably their best player.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, for sure. But, you know, I guess just cap ramifications and kind of a crowded backfield. Amir Abdullah and Theo Riddick now. Looks like they're kind of going to be the top two guys on the feeding chart. But it's sad to see him go, you know, because like Jeremy said, he did have such a like strong finish to the season, especially after starting the season. I think he was not fully healed. Like, right. I mean, he had off-season surgery, right, in the winter or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he wasn't 100%, and he struggled in the beginning of the year, but he finished strong, and like Jeremy said, that can just be kind of the epitome of who Joik Bell is. You know, he's a guy who, even when the chips are down, it doesn't seem like he's ever going to give in.
Yeah, and you know, I'm kind of sad to see him go, but at the same time, too, it feels like everyone wants to go a different direction. It almost felt like everyone had kind of made peace with the fact that Joik Bell was going to be an unrestricted free agent going into this offseason, and he was probably going to be a cap casualty of some kind. But
yeah.
We're going to talk about this a lot more in the next segment about the cap and, you know, plans for the future from here, but he was owed about $3.5 million, which, again, as you say, Ryan, coming off of an injury, you know, your background is undrafted and you've had kind of you've only had like one good year. It kind of puts you in not a great position, right? It puts you in a spot where you can command a certain amount if you have a certain amount of loyalty, but not much beyond that. And especially, again, as you point out, the Lions backfield has kind of evolved, so it's no longer just Joik Bell and an injured Reggie Bush. Like,
right. Like
there's other pieces here.
That's true. I do think if he would have been a part of the 2016 team, he'd be probably getting at least a third of the carries. But even so, is that worth $3.5 million in 1 year?
Yeah,
probably.
I mean,
not.
He would have been like in this current running back by committee scheme, assuming it's going to be the same scheme that for next year that Jim Bob Cooter is going to run. He would be a power back, which means that, you know, that's not exactly a very pretty position for an aging back. So the question is, like, you know, can you go somewhere else and get better production for less money?
Right.
Yeah. I think coming into this season, though, I still had high hopes for the fact that maybe Bell and Abdullah could be kind of what Bell and Bush were in 2014.
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't pan out. And like you guys said, you know, $3.5 million, it's not really worth spending on a third string back, because I think I think we can both agree that the Lions offense was probably in its best shape when Theo Riddick was on the field. So,
yeah, I feel like maybe we'll have to see where he goes. I don't know if he really lands with another team, because again, he only really has one good year to his name, but I think the running back game has just changed so much in the NFL because everyone's doing running back by committee.
Oh, yeah.
Like, unless you have just, like, Jamal Charles or something, someone that you can give, or Le'Veon Bell, someone who can take, like, all those carries for you. Like, everyone's running, like, two, three backs main.
Yeah. Chris, how incensed will you be if the Patriots decide to pick up Joik Bell? How absolute bullshit do you think the entire Pride of Detroit community will be if
I won't
Bill
be
Belichick snacks away another Lions player?
I won't be incensed. I will be happy for Joik Bell. That's a great place for him to end up. But I know exactly what is going to be in the at Pride of Detroit mentions for a good goddamn week.
If you think it's bad there, don't ever go to the M Live comment section because they're going to just be on fire. If the
our Facebook page.
But we love you guys.
Nobody goes to M Live for the migraines. Yeah, I love our community, but don't go to M Live.
Shout out to Justin Rogers and Kyle Mankey, though. Like, you know, they do good jobs. We don't want to run you away. Just your readers are just crazy. Okay, let's continue on. Let's talk a little bit more. We're not going to talk too much more about Joik Bell, but what I want to talk about is the numbers side of this. We talked a lot about, you know, the attachment to Rasheen Mathis and the fan attachment to Joik Bell and the story of Joik Bell, but this is football and all emotion turns to hard, unfeeling numbers and how to make this god-awful sausage we love every weekend and we'll get fat off the sausage, and I don't know where I was going with this. I don't want to keep talking about sausage. Ryan's giving me a weird look right now.
I didn't know where the sausage thing was going.
It's a cliche. Make the sausage.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about the free burrito, Joik Bell, right?
Speaking of sausage. So Mathis's retirement clears out, I believe, $1.5 million in cap space if SpotTrack.com is correct. By the way, shout out to SpotTrack, who has been saving my butt also. I've been typing the name in wrong nonstop. I keep thinking it's SportTrack, and it's SpotTrack.
There you go.
And then I believe Joik Bell, he was due $3.5 million, and I think only $1 million of it. That remains against the cap now.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
$2.5, so that's $4 million saved between the two of them. Which...
That's a nice little chunk of change.
Yeah, that's not an insignificant number. The question now just kind of becomes, do they need to fill both of those roles?
Well, I think it does kind of... Let's talk about that. Do you want to start in the running back or the cornerback?
Let's start with Rasheen since we started with him earlier.
Okay. Like, what do you... Like, I know right now, looking at the draft, I know myself and Alex Reno, like, we've been talking about some of the stuff. I think most of us look at, like, an offensive or defensive tackle or like a linebacker in the first round, but there might be some second-round pickups as far as corners. But, I mean, I don't know where you look to really replace that. Are you going to dive into free agency for that? Like, what do you think right now is the best option to replace that place? Is he on the roster right now, or do you need to go shopping?
That's really the big question right now, because the Lions have two huge unknowns in the secondary. They have Nevin Lawson, who kind of jumped in the place of Rasheen Mathis to... mixed results. Some games he looked pretty good. Other games he got picked on pretty bad. And then you have Alex Carter, who, you know, didn't play a snap in his rookie year.
That's right. I forgot about Alex Carter. That just shows me where I'm at with Alex Carter. I didn't even think he was still on the roster.
Was he a third or a fourth round pick?
He was our third. Yeah, because I remember he's out of Auburn, right?
Right.
Yeah, because I have some Auburn friends and they were excited about that.
So the Lions have a lot invested in him, and they need to figure out, is he going to be that number two guy? And if he is, then you're kind of set. You still need to fill out your depth a little bit at the corner position.
Sure.
But I'm not really sure if a high draft pick is really in the cards this offseason with a bunch of young potential talent there. You just kind of have to figure out what you have in it.
Yeah, Alex Carter... He's from Stanford, by the way.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who? No, that's fine.
No, Gabe Wright was from
Wright.
Auburn.
Gabe
Wright. Yeah, he's from Auburn. But then, I mean, Quandre Diggs fit into all this too, though?
Well, he's probably the slot guy. He's the nickel guy.
Mm-hmm. He's just in terms of filling that need for the number two corner. I don't know if you find that in the draft where the Lions are selecting. Or if that's particularly, like, the biggest point of need.
I don't know. It just like I said, it kind of depends on what you think you have in these young guys.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. You're still probably not that sure on Quandre Diggs either. I mean, he played about half of a season and he looked pretty damn good, but you know, flash in the pans happen. So.
Right, and you also have Josh Wilson and Cresden Butler both going to be unrestricted free agents. So right. It could just be a question of depth at this point. Like, you just got to make sure that that you're going to have, you know, enough talent on the roster to fill out the rest of this, the rest of the secondary depth chart.
Yeah, yeah. I guess I was also kind of thinking like ahead of myself too. Like, we haven't made like the move to like cut somebody like Tulloch, or we haven't made the move to, you know, if we decide to, for whatever reason, maybe cut Riley Reiff or something. Like, so I mean, if any of those things happen, then maybe those become like more pressing issues. But as of now, like, you know, Steven Tulloch is still our middle linebacker. So I mean, if they think that Steven Tulloch is our middle linebacker, then maybe we do, like, in the first round we take a corner if he's there. So I don't know.
I think we've got certain needs that don't include corner, and there's only really a couple of, like, I was talking to Alex about this. There's only about like 3-4 first round corners, and I think like the top two are probably Jalen Ramsey and Vernon Hargreaves, and they're going to be gone before pick 10 or so. So I don't know if corner's really a great look for pick 16. I was more talking like, again, extended draft, looking to like corner like second or third or even fourth or something.
It's something to look into, and I think corners, again, kind of like wide receiver, one of those positions that you don't mind taking at least one every draft. But I think what the Lions are most likely to do here is kind of just fill in Mathis with another veteran, and that could be Josh Wilson again, because he's a veteran, and I think he was playing in the slot most of the year before he got injured, but he's going to be entering his 10th season. He's kind of got that experience that can fill in Mathis's role somewhat well. He's not going to blow people away, but he's the valuable guy in the locker room. He's someone who knows the position, and he's probably going to come fairly cheap too.
Right. I just don't see the Lions like breaking the bank on a free agent. They're not going to go out and get Prince Amukamara. I think some people have been saying that we should go out and get Prince, and I'm just kind of like, that's a little too rich for our blood.
Safety is maybe a position you want to go out on, because you really don't have a number two guy right now there. But I think corner, you've got your young guys, pair them with another old guy, and you'll be okay.
Yeah, I could see that.
I think it's interesting though, like the Lions have a lot of needs at like kind of like a number two position. Like, you know, I think that it's totally fair for fans to think that Golden Tate could be a number one, as long as you have like a solid number two option like next to him.
Oh, I know Tate can be number one.
Right.
I think at this point, we'll probably talk about that on a future podcast, but I firmly believe Tate can be number one.
Sure. I mean, he showed that ability when, you know, Calvin was out for a lot of the season in 2014, when he, you know, missed games, and, you know, Tate really stepped up. But I think it's just interesting heading into the draft, heading into free agency, that we have these needs like that are like secondary, like.
Sure. Yeah.
We need a second corner. We need a second receiver. We need, you know, maybe like a third back or something like that. So
second tight end.
I know exactly what you're saying there, Ryan. Like, yeah. you've got a talented name at key positions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At nearly every level here. Like, you've got some. I don't know who I could say off the defensive line, because we might not have Haloti Ngata next year, but you have him.
And even then you need another edge rusher. Like, you have Ziggy, but who's on the other side?
Yeah, who's on the other side? And then you've got, you know, in your linebacker core, you know, you have DeAndre Levy, but, you know, you've got questions around whether Tulloch will be that, or, you know, if Tahir Whitehead can get in there. And then in the secondary, you've got Slay and you've got Quinn, but then you've got to figure out what else is there. You know, running backs, we've got Riddick, maybe Abdullah, but again, running back situation in the modern NFL means you can't just have one or two in there. You've got to have like two or three. And I think that actually kind of brings us to the second part of this, is what to do about Joik Bell. And, you know, the Lions are definitely saving more money on Joik Bell being cut than they are on Rasheen Mathis. This is going to be a very interesting running back free agency, I think. I think we can go out and say it right now, though, that Matt Forte will not, like, that's not something in the cards for the Lions, right?
Right, yeah, because I don't really think he necessarily fits their need. He does kind of run hard and things like that, but he also is much more valuable than that. He's a good receiver.
He's also a year older than Joique Bell.
Right, he's aging. So, and I think he's probably going to draw a big contract too. So yeah. I don't think that's something the Lions want to really aim themselves towards. But they do have a need at a power runner. And say what you will about Zach Zenner. You know, he'll get carries in 2016 likely, but I don't know if he's that guy, that workhorse back that Joique Bell has been. And don't kid yourself. Joique Bell has kind of been a workhorse back for the Lions in terms yeah. of where we're at in running back usage in the NFL. He's, you know, he had the second most carries this season, I think behind Abdullah, but before
yeah,
that,
it was always a question who was going to be the one running back in a game. It was going to be Bell or Abdullah.
Right. And how can you really expect Zach Zenner to take over that role when he had like what, 15 carries all season and then got injured?
We're going to get ourselves in trouble again here, Ryan, because we're going to be just dogging on Zach Zenner. But
I'm not going to say anything because I don't have anything nice to say. So you go, Chris.
I mean, I understand some of the promise some see in him, but I just don't understand where like this hype comes about that people assume that he's. I mean, there are some people who are way off in the Kool-Aid deep end saying that Zenner will outpace Abdullah next year. Like, those people, I can't help you. I can't help you. You are gone. You are out to sea, and you are even exceeding every bit of Kool-Aid I try to feed the site. There are still, however...
I was going to say, you're orbiting the MLive comments.
Beyond MLive at that point, if you're thinking that Zach Zenner is going to beat out Abdullah. But at the same time, too, it's also frustrating because even more reasonable takes on him... are all like it's all based on preseason like that. And that's kind of the curse of it is that he got hurt so early in the season that all we had was a little bit of preseason stuff. And people would kept assuming that that would continue on into the regular season. And I'm not even sure Zach Zenner will be on the roster come the end of whatever free agency. Cause God knows, you know, if Bob Quinn wants to try to shuffle him around or move him for just sees him as like a trade asset or something like, right. And like, even if he sticks around, I just don't see his role being that big. Like, I see him being another George Quinn, like, and even during the year when he was in there, like, I got so frustrated watching him just try to block. Like, when he was called on not to carry the ball, but to block for Matt Stafford, he was awful. Like, people would just blow by him and just, you know, if some godforsaken hunter seeker gets off the edge, Zenner's not providing any relief for Matt Stafford.
Yeah, he's a young guy. You can't expect an undrafted guy to just come in there and light the world on fire and know how to do everything great. And I mean,
look, I
hate to say it this early in some guy's career, but if you're getting injured 16 carries into the season, you just can't expect that guy to come back the next year and be a workhorse kind of guy.
Well, there's also pedigree too, right? I know everyone loves the underdog story and everyone thinks an undrafted guy can, you know, you can just find the Bill Belichick magic and you can find the undrafted and late round guys and they will turn out to be the all-stars of the game or something. But there is a certain level of pedigree that is looked for. And if you're undrafted, just it takes a lot to get up to do what Joique Bell did, because Joique Bell was undrafted and he only had, like, you know, one stellar year out of many. Like, the ceilings for a guy who goes undrafted is pretty low. And I just think in that case, you've got to start thinking about either drafting again on a running back. I don't know if you would, but I mean, there's some interesting options out there in free agency this year. You know, be curious to see who gets to free agency. Lamar Miller, I know Lamar Miller has to be like the Dolphins' number one priority to re-sign in this offseason. But if he gets available, whew.
Maybe. I mean, I'm looking at I'm looking at spot tracks, like their market value for a couple of these guys, and you know, it looks like Matt Forte, they're projecting to maybe command around like $7.5 million, like annual salary. So like, I mean, that's something that just, you know, Lions fans can kind of forget about.
Yeah, forget about
that. But I mean, like, what kind of running back do you want to fill that role? Like, do you want somebody who is kind of like a power back? Do you want somebody who is, you know, a good blocker that you can put in on, you know, maybe like third down or something? Or, you know, I think really that third back is somebody who's kind of a specialty back in a way. But then again, that might be Theo Riddick. So maybe you might want to get a power back who, you know, is an upgrade over Joik Bell and, you know, can be healthy. So
maybe you don't even need like a power back. Maybe you might just want a second receiving option or something. Maybe you want to like go try out like a Tim Hightower or something who,
maybe,
you know, he kind of stepped in for after Mark Ingram and who was the other Saints back that they had back there? He got hurt as well, I believe.
Kyrie Robinson.
No, but above him.
Tim Hightower? No?
Never mind. But this is what we get for not having rosters like right ready to go.
Whatever. I tried.
No, it's fine. That's on me. I completely forgot the other Saints guy. But no, like when that whole Saints backfield got decimated.
Oh, CJ Spiller.
Spiller. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
you just had to say decimated. And I was like, oh, CJ Spiller.
So when Spiller, Ingram, and Robinson were all kind of, you know, banged up or out or something, Hightower did step up. But he was also, if I recall correctly, the Saints were using him in a receiving running back capacity, were they not?
Yeah.
Sure. So, I mean, like, this all depends on what Jim Bob Cooter wants to do. If he wants to commit by this scheme where he's got specified running backs for each kind, I understand that. But I also understand if he wants to say, no, I'd rather have, like, you know, a finesse back and maybe, like, two receiving backs just to kind of throw people for a loop, you know, so they don't know, hey, that back's in. I know exactly what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I get all that, but I still think there's a role on pretty much every team for a power guy, who you want to put in there on third and one.
For end zone,
a goal line guy.
You know, 2 yards and a cloud of dust and whatever that and saying is.
I'll be honest, I think I have the perfect name.
Uh-oh.
LeGarrette Blount.
I was just looking at his name.
Oh, my God.
LeGarrette Blount. He's got the Patriots connection, Bob Quinn. He's a strong running back who's pretty much succeeded pretty damn well over in New England. Obviously, there's a little bit of personality clash that you have to worry about. But he's going to come fairly cheap. He might be up there in age, but
he's big.
I think he fits the role perfectly. I'm totally serious when I think LeGarrette Blount's a really good fit in Detroit.
You know what also I hate is that we have a kind of a strain of comments that come out, though, every time you get a former Patriot. It's like, you know, trying to copy, you know, oh, you're not going to have any success copying what the Patriots do. I mean, that's fair, but I don't know if that extends to players.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's all I get. That's all you guys got.
No, I like it.
God, we sound like bumbling fools, Chris. I don't mind LeGarrette Blount. Like you said, he'll come cheap. He's 29. He'll serve the role as like a goal line back or somebody when it's third and two or something and you want to try to, you know, just push the line forward. That's cool with me. I mean, LeGarrette Blount would be a fine. I mean, there's other maybe like younger, maybe interesting alternatives that might command some more money. So maybe we might not be in on them like a Alfred Morris or maybe like even like a, I don't know, like a Bobby.
Alfred Morris would be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris Johnson's out here, too. I don't know if he leaves Arizona, though. I think he's going to get broke off.
Fred Jackson.
Oh, man. Talk about old.
There we go. Jacksonville. Bringing the connection back.
That's a stretch.
Ahmad Bradshaw is a free agent.
Oh, my God. I completely forgot the point I was going to bring up.
Because I said Ahmad Bradshaw?
No, I just... Never mind. Let's take the break here, and then we'll come back with your with the mailbag. We're going to have a pretty big one this week, so we'll want to give us some time for it. So, quick break, come back, mailbag time, folks. Okay, mailbag time, always our favorite time. If you ever want to drop us a question that you have for us about the Detroit Lions, the NFL, Detroit sports, or anything else in the world, send it every week on the day before we record, it will be on Pride of Detroit. So just keep checking back there. I'll be Ask POD. Leave a comment there or just drop it to us when we ask on Twitter at Pride of Detroit or at Malkovich Plan. Now, before we get into the mailbag, Ryan, as we are wont to do, because we have a bunch of wrestling fans in the Pride of Detroit staff, Fastlane, WWE Fastlane is this weekend. All I know about is the main event, which is a triple threat between Brock Lesnar, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns for basically the right to battle Triple H at WrestleMania. And we're going to be talking a lot about WrestleMania at some point. Jeremy's checked out at this point. He'll be back eventually once we stop talking about this. But this feels like Roman Reigns is set up to win this main event.
Yeah, which is pretty odd considering that this entire feud for the past month, it seems like it's been carried by Ambrose and Lesnar. Like, those two figures have been the most like compelling of this like three-man, you know, match that they're going to have at Fastlane. But it's weird in that way because, you know, it does seem like it's going to be like Reigns' coronation. But then there's that tiny bit of you that's like, you know what? They called that audible in Orlando at the Rumble to have the final two people in the ring be Ambrose and Triple H.
Yeah.
So there's a tiny bit of hope that you kind of have that, you know, maybe Ambrose, this might be like Ambrose's shot.
Yeah, and I think...
But then again, I think it's pretty easy for them to kind of just like ride in on the Reigns cash cow, but I think it'd be really cool if they ended up having a main event with Ambrose and Triple H.
Yeah, and as much as I'm a stan for Brock Lesnar and I'm kind of hoping to see the Beast kind of go there, I don't think he has any real shot in this. Like, and I agree with you, though. I would like to see Dean Ambrose kind of like them to expand. So he's not just like, you know, it's always just lunatic fringe, crazy guy, crazy guy, crazy guy. I'd like to see if them, you know, put him up there with Triple H and, you know, on the build up, just make show that he's something more than that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, give all these members of the Shield or, you know, ex members of the Shield kind of their own like WrestleMania moments. I mean, last year it was Reigns and Rollins who, you know, and then obviously, you know, the match being Reigns and Lesnar, but, you know, Rollins cashing in, that kind of gave them all that gave those two members of the Shield a WrestleMania moment. I think it'd be cool to give Ambrose one in lead up to maybe, you know, they're going to have some kind of triple threat match with the, you know, the ex-Shield members eventually. That's a headline WrestleMania event in and of itself.
Sure.
Once Seth Rollins is healthy. So
is there any other events I need to know about on Fastlane like that? That's
Fastlane?
The thing.
Yeah. So, I think the only real, you know, other compelling match is going to be to see what happens for the internet or for the IC championship between Ziggler and Owens, because,
Owens has been getting a lot of play lately.
Owens has been getting a lot of play. I mean, on Raw this week, he took the IC title from Ambrose, which I thought was kind of conspicuous, which makes me believe that maybe Ambrose does have a shot, or at least they wanted to tease the idea that he has a shot, because if they take the IC title away from him...
He's open to a new title, yeah.
He's open to a new title, so it seems like maybe this Ziggler-Owens thing, I don't know if it's a holdover, but last year when I went to Fastlane, it was a lot of the matches that happened at Fastlane were things that were kind of primers for WrestleMania, that, you know, feuds that were going to carry over to the next pay-per-view. But other than that, I mean, another fun match will probably be Kalisto and Alberto Del Rio.
I love Kalisto. I've been waiting for like a headline luchador kind of act for, and I saw it when they had the original Lucha Dragons. I'm like, okay, this is kind of neat, but I still want like an actual luchador.
A single star, right? Yeah.
And I think Kalisto's shown that guy. Kalisto's shown he can kind of rise above just being a tag team guy.
Yeah, that's sweet. Yep, yeah. Yep, that too. And then it's just going to be interesting. My favorite wrestler right now is Sasha Banks, and she has a match with Becky Lynch. Her and Becky Lynch against, I think it's Tamina and...
I'm in a holding pattern on Divas until we get the WrestleMania against Charlotte, which I think finally they're setting up Charlotte to just finally give up that damn belt.
I hope so. But yeah, that can be enough Fastlane talk so we can bring Jeremy
back.
Okay,
I'm sorry. And I apologize to the rest of our listeners. It's a quirk of ours. But
hey,
I mean, we're from around Detroit.
That's why they build in that skip 15 seconds ahead button.
Okay, let's start actually, and we're going to start on a non-football topic. El Fuego 51 Since the NBA All-Star Game was this weekend, and we all know the Pro Bowl is the worst of the four major All-Star celebrations, which one of the other three is the best? I feel like we've answered this one before, but I don't mind taking it again, because it's always a great question. And there's been a lot of hot takes this week about, oh, there was no defense being played at the NBA All-Star Game. There was nearly 400 points scored. And I don't know what to say to that at that point.
It's fun to watch the dunks and everything, but
the dunk contest was lit.
Yeah, the dunk contest was incredible, but I'm just saying, like, during the actual All-Star game, like, it was cool to see, like, the alley-oops and, you know, the kind of just like the free-flowing, let's throw three-quarter court passes and watch people dunk. That's cool and all, but I really think the NHL is onto something, obviously, with the 3-on-3 format, because it's competitive, it's fun, it's fast-paced. And then they put up the money for the winners. So, like, who doesn't want to win $1 million?
Sure. You know? I think my two favorite is definitely NBA All-Star Game, but I like more of the weekend stuff. That's the problem. I like Rising Stars, and I like the dunk contest, and I like the skills challenge.
Great. Yeah, that stuff is great. I mean, but the NHL has a skill challenge, too. So, I mean, I think that was really interesting to see, like, Larkin win the, you know, fastest skater and everything, too.
But, I mean, nothing can really hold a candle to what is, like, we've been saying about the three-point contest for a couple of years now, especially with all these new three-point shooters in there who are just, like, nailing them nonstop. Mm-hmm. But I think you got to still give some accolades to Major League Baseball and their All-Star game. Like, maybe if you don't like baseball, you're not watching their All-Star game, but theirs is probably the closest to an actual game of baseball, of the various All-Stars. And, I mean, it's always something special. There's always some weird theatrics going on. Last couple of years, we've had, you know, Enter Sandman with Mariano Rivera, and you had Derek Jeter the year after that. And, you know, the Home Run Derby is always some fun, except when Chris Berman's talking. So I think you got to give some credit to Major League Baseball still putting on. Even though they've decided for this dumb, idiotic idea that their All-Star game is going to actually mean something. That their All-Star game determines home field advantage for the World Series, which is stupid, but whatever.
But don't you think that kind of contributes to the fact that
they don't actually care.
Play hard in the game?
No, they don't. And well, here's the other problem, too, is like they still use a fan vote. Like, so fans, and you know, the fan vote almost got sabotaged last year because Royals fans stuffed the ballots until they almost had like eight Royals on like the starting roster, like the whole outfield and like most of the infield was going to be Royals, like because they were stuffing the ballot. And you know, I don't want to take that away because the idea is, hey, this game's supposed to mean something, so I want to be able to have the best shot to win, but you don't also want to put the fans out of the equation.
Well, you don't have to take them out. I mean, I think one of the easy workarounds is like, you know what? If you want to vote for the All-Star game, show up to the park and you can vote at the park.
But that's how they used to do it. That's how they used to do it. But well, I think in the web era, it's fine to have online voting for that stuff. Sure. It's just rough when, you know, figuring out how to not stuff a ballot, but whatever.
I don't know. My general take on All-Star in general, though, is the game itself, all four major sports don't interest me. I don't think I've watched a full All-Star game in any sport in a few years. And I missed out on the 3-on-3 thing in the NHL this year, and I wish I would have seen it, but outside of that, it's just who does All-Star Weekend the best, and I think the NBA does the best at making it an entire event.
Oh, yeah, it's fun. Like it's very fun.
It's a social event. Twitter's a buzz. You know, people are talking about it. There's a wide variety of different events, and so they put on, like, the best show, I think, for the weekend, probably followed closely by the NHL, who's certainly picked it up because they've just done things. They're not afraid to switch things up, which is something the NFL needs to do.
I'm still putting baseball number two above the NHL. I don't think the NHL is there yet. But granted, I watch a lot more baseball than I think both of you. So, yeah. Let's go a little wrap. Let's go on this next one here. Let's take one from Twitter. A couple from Twitter. The Will to Win at TWTW Sports asks, oh, I love that one. Does hometown hero Joique Bell inspirational story mean nothing to the stone cold Martha Ford? Yes. It means nothing.
I've kind of gotten this this narrative from a couple people via Twitter that both
she's Martha, a boss.
Martha Ford and Bob Quinn, like, this is the new way of the Lions doing things. They don't care about storylines. They're cold hearted and while that makes for a fun narrative, like this is a cut that I think most Lions organizations would have made in the past.
Sure, sure. And I mean, but it's fun to have that narrative too,
sure.
Right, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. Firestone, hashtag Firestone.
Yeah, hashtag Firestone.
Literally Firestone.
Literally. Lions news at Lion News for you, number four. For some reason, he's Lions news, but he asks, do you think the Pistons are done, or do they acquire a backup point guard? Ryan, you are like the one person out there who is representative of the people who hate this trade the Pistons did today, sending Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova to the Magic for Tobias Harris.
Okay, so hate is a strong word, and I wouldn't use hate, but I am not the biggest fan of it for a couple of reasons that I'll sum up very quickly. Tobias Harris is he's a pretty bad defender. He's not a good passer. He can tend to be a black hole on offense. So I don't want to call him Carmelo Anthony Light, but he's 23. So at the same time, yes, you're getting a guy on a good contract who can eventually pan out and become something. But to answer your question, they need to acquire a backup point guard now because the trade that they made today, they took a step back in making the playoffs this year. So they definitely need to go out and get a backup point guard, whether or not that's Darren Collison or go back and ask Oklahoma City for DJ Augustine back. But they need a backup point guard because Steve Blake, the White Mamba, he's just not going to cut it.
Yeah,
if you're trying to make a playoff run, and Spencer Dinwiddie is not ready.
No, he's staying in Grand Rapids. Yeah, the mayor is still in Grand Rapids. I don't care I'm a Pistons fan. I am long suffering for the playoffs, but I could, like, if they miss the playoffs this year, I don't mind. Like, this is obviously saying, like, we're going to keep building for the future. So, like, to me, the backup point guard thing is kind of moot in that mind for it. Like, if you want to make the play, like, of course, Drew Sharp wrote, this trade has put all the impetus on the Pistons to make the playoffs. I don't see that at all.
What? Drew Sharp,
this wasn't a win now move.
No, it was absolutely not. This was a hey, look at all the players we have under 25 that are in our starting
roster.
Yeah,
now.
Like we have seven guys who are like contributors that are, you know, 25 years or younger. So
yeah, let's go back to some of these other questions then. Kevinaw one. No, I'm sorry, that's not how I say his name. Kevaw, is it Kevaw?
Kevaw.
We have another guy's. Someone else has to field these questions next time because I can never pronounce a screen name.
CB Russ.
CB Russ.
Sabiris. Kavah1 asks, how about we discuss Lions' need for a backup quarterback? He also throws in here Ryan Fitzpatrick would be an upgrade. I don't think Fitzpatrick's going to want to go back to being a backup ever.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I think we already answered this question on the last podcast. Hashtag bring back Drew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's get Drew Stanton back in here.
Oh, well, I thought you guys were talking about Drew Henson.
Oh, God. Shut it down. Shut this thing down right now.
I can't.
Go back to your hole with Toussaint.
Is he available for running backs, by the way?
For the love of...
Look at what you've done.
This is what you get for bringing me back into fantasy.
I can't do this. I feel like you're going to somehow in like 3 weeks turn into our worst Facebook people and advocate for the Lions to draft Jake Rudock.
Or even Butt.
Or
whoa.
Jake Butt's not. Is Jake Butt in this draft?
No, I don't think he's.
No, he's not. He's back. No, he's next year.
Yeah. Well. Even Jeremy would be like, well, is there any way that we can draft him early and like just have his rights like Larry Bird?
He's worth a sixth rounder this year.
Maybe let's go out and get Vincent Smith or something while we're at it there, Jeremy. I'm not going to do Vince Smith like that. I've met him actually in person. He's a very nice man, and he does not deserve to be remembered forever and now on as the man who got pancaked by Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me give you a quick serious take on backup quarterback. And
sure.
I think Lions fans aren't going to like this, but I think Orlovsky's coming back. He's familiar with the system. He's going to come cheap.
Safety and, Dan.
Yeah, and I mean, why not at this point? If they got by with it last year, I mean, maybe they aren't as lucky with Stafford's health this year, but I don't know. It seems like a cheap option. It makes a lot of sense. Orlovsky certainly wants to be back, and
I think you got to draft another quarterback at some point. This might be a good year to go way down for a backup.
Yeah, and maybe this is the year that you go back to carrying three on the roster, and that third person being a developmental guy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Like but maybe you could give Dan one of these short term deals too. Maybe I don't know, because I think even though there's a need for quarterback around here, Dan Orlovsky is nothing more than a backup. Like, and he's not going to be anything more than a backup. It's just what it is. Sorry, Dan. We'll go rapid fire on a couple of these. Prince Amukamara, could he be in a Lions uniform this season? I think we answered that last segment. I think we said he's going to probably be a little too pricey for any of us.
Yeah, I'm all about adding that veteran, as I said earlier. I don't want to add another young guy who's going to come with a big price tag. And I mean, his play is kind of mediocre anyways.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to be too expensive.
All right. Joseph R. Sweeney's got a couple questions here, as he always does. All this early talk about the Vikings on Thanksgiving, do you like getting away from the Packers on Thanksgiving as Packers as Thanksgiving Day foes? I really like having variety, especially with that long streak of losses during the 2000s, early 2010s. Wasn't the original Thanksgiving game, it was always Bears-Lions. Like, historically, Thanksgiving game was always Lions and Bears.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I don't really have a strong opinion on
The
Lions are playing. They played the Packers, what, twice in a row before? This year, they played the Eagles. And then it was Packers 2 years before that?
I think it was 2013 we played the Packers on Thanksgiving. I don't think we didn't play them in 2014, I think, because I think that's when we finally broke the losing streak in Thanksgiving games. Was it 2014 we broke that losing streak?
Well, if it was, I remember we smoked the Packers and Matt Flynn on Thanksgiving, and I think that might have been 2014.
No, it wasn't 2014 because we played the Packers at home in September that year.
2014, last year we played the Bears. I mean, we played the Eagles, but then the year before that we played the Bears.
Oh, okay.
Right, yeah.
And the year before that was when we smoked the Packers.
Got it.
Yeah. I just remember we didn't play the Packers last year because I was at that home game against the Packers in September. So
I'm in the end, play whoever. I like seeing different matchups, but we're gonna play them anyways.
Win them.
Yeah.
Okay, Joseph R. Sweeney's other question is, you need to get into a street fight or Survivor Series 5-man tag. Choose one from each to make your crew. Stooges, the three not Iggy's, Power Rangers, cast of Everybody Loves Raymond, and dwarves from Lord of the Rings.
What in the blue hell is this question asking me?
So I think you're picking one Stooge, one Power Ranger, one Everybody Loves Raymond cast member, and one dwarf.
Man, I'm just wondering who is the kind of person that overlaps in all four of those bubbles. Like, who remembers all the Stooges and is harping on Lord of the Rings at this time?
Well, hold on. Joseph R. Sweeney, shout out for defending Labatt Blue, though.
Yeah,
that's true.
Don't think I don't see you doing that. But
no, and I'm still going to give this an answer.
He also apparently shits on Molson, which is fine.
Which is fine, because
Alex isn't here.
It's a beer that Reno likes, so.
Okay, let's just do another question. I don't know anything about Everyone Loves Raymond. I've never seen that show.
I'm just going to say Brad Garrett because he's got the height. I don't know. Okay. I have no idea what his character name is. I've never seen an episode.
Okay.
We'll go White Ranger.
Oh, come on. Hold up. You got to go Green Ranger. Green Ranger.
No.
Hold up. You're going to go White Ranger, not Green Ranger. Green Ranger, the guy who showed up and kicked everyone else's ass. Like, yep. Green Ranger's like yep. when shit gets real, they call him the Green Ranger. Get the fuck out of here with this White Ranger bullshit.
We'll go Curly for the Stooge.
You gotta go Mo.
And I can't name one dwarf on the Lord of the Rings, so I'm out there.
Gimli.
That's the one he lists.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, we picked you.
Frodo.
Frodo. Underdog asks, any other of, let's see here, any other events you're looking forward to in Rio? Personally, I like the Winter Olympics better, but I love watching gymnastics, women's soccer, all the weird shit like taekwondo. I'm big on judo. I love watching the judo matches. I was also really big on watching fencing for a few years when I had the streams available.
Okay.
Those are always pretty fun, especially the it's the three categories like épée, saber, and foil. And I like épée because that's like the full body one. But saber is also kind of cool too because that's actually like slashing motions. Not as big anymore on archery. My dad used to have like go to a bunch of Olympics because we used to have he used to like know people in the track and field like media associations. And those are always kind of interesting because, like, track and field is kind of like the core of the Olympics itself. Not big on it. I like that indoor handball shit, though.
I can't say I've ever watched that.
No.
No, me neither.
Or
no.
Water polo? Anyone?
No.
That's a brutal game.
It's a horrifying game.
It is a scary game. It's like icebergs. You don't really know what's going on underneath the water, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, and they're trying to drown you half the time you're there, too, so...
I don't know. In general, I'm kind of out on the Summer Olympics. I'll tune into like the short distance running because that's about as much attention span I have for the Summer Olympics. I'll probably pay attention to some soccer too, but outside of that, I'm just
out on the Olympics. No, you don't get into swimming. You don't get into track and field. Any of that stuff.
It's maybe a little bit on swimming too.
Yeah, because
but
swimming,
it's just the quick shorting, short race stuff.
Yeah.
Why don't they have, like, tennis at the Olympics?
They should have tennis.
They don't do?
I think they do, yeah.
I think that's still an event.
Oh, I'd probably watch tennis then. I mean, I like Jeremy said, I like some of the, like, shorter distance, either, like, track and field stuff or swimming. I'm a big fan of the diving, though, because I like how like, it really matters how much of a splash you make. Like, if you make a big splash, then you failed your country. Which is kind of like the opposite of like
what makes a cool splash,
right? Like the metaphorical, like if you make a big splash then you've done a good thing, but in the Olympics it's a very bad thing.
Does anyone anymore watch those like blank athlons or whatever, like the decathlon or the triathlon?
That's like way too long, too much of an investment. Basketball obviously I'll watch.
Sure. Oh yeah, no, we will all watch the basketball because America is just going to crush everyone in basketball. They always do.
If LeBron might not play.
Yeah, that's true. And Spain's been getting pretty good.
Yeah, there's some good foreign countries out there. So
yeah, it might be more of a challenge, but Team USA is always just fun to watch. Yeah. Did you guys watch, what was it, in 2012? 2012 was the last Summer Olympic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe it was that there were some clips going around of like an Irish broadcaster like using some old school basketball terms, watching Team USA, like, you know, just on like Kevin Durant throwing it down. Like there's some wonderful sound from that.
Just like throwing down NBA Jam terms, like boom shakalaka.
Yes, he did actually say boom shakalaka in an Irish accent. He also at one point said, takes it a bit, shakes it a bit, and bakes it a bit.
Oh, jeez.
I would have lost it if he said, is it the shoes?
No, he didn't go Spike Lee on us, no.
Oh, man.
Okay, let's find
any other good questions?
Oh, we got plenty more. Let's go down to Big Haircut. Is Stevie Wonder actually blind? And he links in here a Greg Howard article from Deadspin.
For the love of God, Stevie Wonder is blind. Ray Charles is blind. Stevie Wonder is blind.
Yes, Ray Charles is blind. Stevie Wonder isn't blind.
Didn't Ray Charles?
Oh, man.
No, Stevie Wonder isn't blind.
I'm a bad Ray Charles fan. Isn't he dead?
He might be. Stevie Wonder ain't blind.
Hashtag.
This isn't even a truth or thing. Like, this is fact. This is fact. Stevie Wonder is not blind.
This is a truth or thing.
No,
Chris.
Come on. Okay.
What's your opinion on steel beams and their melting point?
Oh, you laugh at me, but hold on. Think about all the Stevie Wonder songs out there, about how some of these songs he does and like the things he's talking about, singing about flowers, trees, colors, and everything. Like I can understand like certain objects, but colors? Like how does someone who has never seen know intrinsically about colors and how colors are supposed to make you feel? Like that's not something that you can really create an art of hearing about second hand, right?
I don't know. There are a lot of really good drugs in the 60s and 70s, Chris.
Okay, but then...
Hey, I can write about football, but I didn't play football.
Oh.
Okay, I'm not even done with all my evidence here. The mic stand catch. Paul McCartney coming off the stage, and I'm showing you the GIF right now, and there it is. Stevie Wonder catches a mic stand nowhere near it in a loud room. I don't know how you can hear it start to fall or McCartney bounce into it. And he just reaches out. He looks down, looks at it, and reaches down and grabs it before it hits the ground.
He does not look at it.
This is the thing, Chris, is that you need to include this GIF when you post the podcast article, because then our readers will be able to see that the microphone moves from the back and to the left. It moves back and to the left.
You mock me.
He catches it.
You mock me.
Back and to the left.
You mock me, but sir, let me tell you, and I remember this, a lot of Bomani Jones. Bomani Jones is also my savior on this because he believes this too. One of his guys actually called into his podcast one point and said that he knows Stevie Wonder ain't blind because Stevie Wonder came in and bought some nice LCD TVs, high definition televisions, and he was like, look, testing them out and all of them. And I want to ask you, what does Stevie need for like those kind of big giant televisions? You would think anyone's coming over to his house, it's not just a host for that. It's got to be for him too.
Stevie Wonder has friends who have sight. He doesn't just have blind friends, Chris.
Okay,
so
but why,
maybe
why
he wants
to
entertain them with televisions.
I can't deal with you like this. Okay, what about when he's courtside at all those basketball games?
Curtis Blow, musician, recorded a song about how much he loves basketball and all the sounds. So,
but he follows along with the action. Like, he seems to know when guys are, like, you know, taking a dunk or something and pump his fist.
Well, because somebody's next to him probably saying, like, oh, he just dunked it. And Stevie Wonder's like, cool, I'll write a song about it.
Okay, okay, Michael Jackson, like, there was that thing where he took a camera from Michael Jackson and had Michael Jackson, I'm showing you the photo, it's in the Greg Howard thing, taking a photograph of Michael Jackson, pointing the camera at him and taking a picture. What do you have to say about that?
Okay, well, this is the thing, is that there's somebody next to him.
No.
And this could be a photo op. Yeah, no, I really cannot explain this at all.
Stevie Wonder ain't blind.
The weirdest part is that he has the camera up to his eyes.
Yes, yes. Stevie Wonder isn't blind.
I can't defend this, but I feel like this is more so a cruel joke than it is.
No,
Stevie Wonder might not be blind.
I believe that Stevie Wonder has made this elaborate thing up just to get a little taste of that Ray Charles pie. There is no other way to explain this. Is that
please do not tell me that you think that Stevie Wonder saw an opportunity to corner the Ray Charles blind musician market.
Yes,
so he decided
he did.
I can't even right now. Literally, the takeaway from this is bruh.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Greg Howard piece. Yeah, the takeaway, bruh. I don't know why he's doing it. I just think there is really good evidence to say that Stevie Wonder is not blind. And I think, Stevie Wonder, you got some splaining to do.
Come on our podcast.
No, don't come on our podcast. I would be terrified of him. He'll send a bunch of guys after me like Peyton Manning sends his goons after people.
Oh,
God,
no.
We got through this podcast without talking about that. Oh, thank God.
Yeah, that's a minefield for you right now.
Can we not start this up right now?
What, the Peyton Manning thing about how he ruins people's lives?
Can we...
We're not. That's it. We'll leave it there. We'll leave it there. We'll have to touch on it on another podcast about how he's just Lance Armstrong.
But just like him and Archie.
Yeah, and the whole University of Tennessee, which is getting slammed right now with like a bigger Title IX lawsuit. So everyone's saying, well, this happened 20 years ago. Why is it being dug up? It's being dug up because of the Title IX lawsuit, which is like, you know, saying 20 years of negligence on the part of Tennessee. But we're going to get angry people at us. So let's get a couple more in here. Rolk M is asking, who do you see getting tagged other than the obvious Glenn and Jeffries? I think he's saying this because he had another question about the franchise tag.
Yeah, if the Lions are going to use it, and the Lions aren't going to use it, I guess. I was thinking about this. The only realistic option is maybe Don Muehlbeck, but I have no idea what a top five long snapper contract looks like.
Hashtag tag Muehlbeck.
Tag Muehlbeck. I love it. I don't know. Is Alshon Jeffrey going to get the franchise tag? Do you guys think the Bears would do that?
No.
Oh, that's who Jeffries is. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think it's supposed to be Y.
Yeah, I think Von Miller will get the franchise tag.
Yeah, if they don't agree on something. Von Miller's
he'll still get plenty of money. Like, the franchise tag used to be an insult, but you look at what, you know, defensive linemen make. Like, you got to start factoring in what would be like the average of the top five salaries, and your eyes are going to light up when you realize how much that's going to be.
Right.
Like, just well,
he's going to be an outside linebacker, but yeah, I mean those linebacker guys make a ton of money too. Anyways.
Yeah.
Who is Glenn?
Glenn. I don't know.
I read it and I was like, Terry Glenn is an option at receiver this year.
Well, I don't think he's just talking receiver, by the way. What do you make of
Cordy Glenn? He's on the Bills.
Well, what about what do you guys make of what's happening with Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up. News came out today that negotiations broke down with him. So I mean, that's kind of a last resort for Washington to ensure that they have Cousins back another season. But is he worth a top five contract, even if it's just
Hell
for one
no.
year?
No, he's not. But this is also the Washington we're talking about here. Like, yeah. This, like, people need to remember, like, Washington is a historically inept franchise in many ways when it comes to these kind of negotiations. If they get screwed over somehow with Kirk Cousins, be it either they don't get it done and he just like, they give him a bunch of franchise tag money and he busts, or they give him a franchise tag money, there's no way Washington wins this situation, because if they tag him and he busts, they blow a ton of money on him. If they tag him and he succeeds really well, he will just be pissed at them for franchise tagging him and go out and get money somewhere else in the league. Like, there's no real way for, unless of course they are once again, oh yeah, and the way that they do keep him is probably if they go like something like 8-8, and then they're 8-8 and they have a crappy draft pick and that they can't do anything with, and they're still without a long-term quarterback. Because they just chased Robert Griffin out of town. Who's going to pick up Robert Griffin, by the way?
Cowboys.
Really? Cowboys aren't going to go for Johnny Manziel?
Oh, man. You can't touch that guy.
No, you can't. No, no one can touch Johnny at this point.
I don't know. Maybe
49ers?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. If Kaepernick leaves town, then maybe a viable option would be him.
Well, the 49ers are also picking high enough they could take a quarterback if they wanted to. Yeah.
That's my hot take.
Let me give you my hot take. John Cena!